Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe bonus episode. Welcome to the 5-day training, The Intimacy Keys, where I'll be sharing with you the 5 keys to deepening connection, enhancing pleasure, and accessing desire. I'm your host, Morgan Susan Taylor. Thank you for joining me. Hey, everybody. Here we are. It is day 1 of Intimacy Keys, so I'm super excited to be here with you for this little mini masterclass free training. So welcome to day 1 of the Intimacy Keys. Over the next 5 days, I'm going to be here with you at 2 p.m. each day and sharing with you the 5 keys to deepening connection, enhancing pleasure, and accessing desire. Today, our topic is about reviving Eros and doing that through the redefining of how we understand and how we define sex, love, and intimacy. We really need a new understanding of these things if we're really going to be satisfied and fulfilled in relationship. So that's what I'm going to be doing today, is walking through just sort of giving you kind of where the misunderstanding happens and then sort of a new lens to look through in how we relate to these aspects of our lives, how we define sex, love, and intimacy, how we experience that. So first of all, if most of you probably know me, but for anyone joining me here or watching the replay, if you don't know who I am, my name is Morgan Susan Taylor, and I'm a licensed therapist, a writer, a spiritual advisor, and an intuitive coach. In my counseling and therapy practice, I'm a specialist in women's sexuality. I'm also the founder of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective and the podcast host of the Sex Talk Cafe podcast. Let's dive in here and talk about, first of all, what is Eros? What do we mean when we hear the term Eros? Well, Eros really, in its essence, is your creative life force. It's really the erotic impulse that all of life actually has towards creation and towards love. So Eros is really best understood as that spiritual and primal urge to express ourselves, and specifically to express ourselves through our creative essence as spiritual and physical beings, fully embracing our sensuality and our sexuality. So by nature, the word Eros has an erotic quality to it. Even the word erotic comes from the word Eros. So there's a sexual nature to it, a sensual nature. Versus like the opposite of Eros would be like the word agape. And agape is sort of more of that, like the love that you would have for all humankind, or the love that you would have for the divine or for God. The love that you would have even for like a dear, dear friend. It's more like agape. So when we're talking about Eros, we're specifically talking about really like something that's imbued with that sensual, sexual, that primal urge really towards creativity and towards life. The fundamental problem that we really have, this really is like, you know, probably in almost many cultures, not all, but really specifically in American culture, and our culture in the West, in the United States, I should say. There's really a disconnect that we have from this part of ourselves. We've really shut ourselves off from Eros, from this, the way that life wants to express itself creatively through us as both physical, spiritual, and sexual beings. There's really been a big disconnect. And the way that this comes to be is really in numerous ways. There's societal influences. So we have things like religion and then the Puritan values that our country is founded on. And really, because we live in this culture and we're so steeped in it, it can actually be really challenging to see how those Puritan values show up. Our country is America was really, our forefathers were of the Puritan belief system, which is a very restrictive, really around anything having to do with pleasure. The Puritans really believed in hard work is the way to anything, including the way to get close to God in their religious worldview, was really all about hard work and doing good works. And also really shaming the human body and shaming anything that had to do with pleasure or feeling good. So anything having to do that felt good in the body, like sex or masturbation, was really shamed and was really shut down. And so as a result, in our country, we really have a disconnect between really in our values and what we value. And we tend to value hard work and productivity over sensuality, art, pleasure, creativity, and self-expression. So that's one way that unconsciously we are all, to an extent, being affected by that. And I could give a really good example of this. Actually, if you don't know, there, Google actually just passed a new, something within their organization now for their advertising guidelines. And because I'm in the field of sexuality and sex therapy, I was actually affected by this, and one of their guidelines, they will no longer run ads that are promoting or advertising anything that would make sex more pleasurable. So if you have an ad for like, here's some sex tips to make sex better on Saturday night, like they will not publish that ad. And I actually had one of my ads rejected by Google that was an ad for to help women with sexual pain. So sexual pain disorders in women, which is like a known thing, it's a medical diagnosable condition, Google will not run my ads for that because in essence, I would be helping to increase sexual pleasure. Right, so this is really, it's really fucked up, but this is the culture that we live in. And we also, I run into this also all the time on Facebook. Facebook is not free speech, y'all. Most of my posts that go out that are about sex or pleasure, those don't get circulated. They don't get visibility. So we're really censored in more ways than we realize by our society and by these sort of Puritan values, that very sex negative values that are still seeping into our culture and into our experience as sexual beings, even today in this modern age where we think we're so free and liberated. We also have family influences, of course, because we grow up in families that are steeped in this culture, right? So a lot of times, like guilt, shame, and shame are really two of the biggest tools that are used to manipulate and control behavior. And largely that's done really at its essence through sexual shame. So I'm sure many of us probably had early childhood sexual experiences where maybe we were caught touching ourselves or running around the house naked and, you know, maybe really shamed for that, told that that's dirty or inappropriate or that's only for the bed or private places, which, yeah, sure, you don't want to be out there in public masturbating. But nonetheless, it really ingrains in our psyche and in our bodies this idea that there's something wrong with us and that it's dirty to have that impulse towards pleasure, and that impulse towards Eros is actually wrong, bad, or dirty. So we start to cut off from it. We start to shut it down. Also, trauma, and how I define trauma is really any negative experience that made it feel unsafe for you to be, look, or act sexual or sensual. So that really could be anything from overt sexual abuse, even to these little what we call microaggressions, these smaller incidences that happen, like being shamed for being caught masturbating, for example, that start to get ingrained into our system, into our psyche, and also into our body, where we start to make ourselves wrong for having those kinds of feelings, for having those sexual urges. So these are the ways, really the three fundamental ways that this disconnect really comes to be. What is this actually, how this shows up, what this ends up looking like in your life individually and on sort of a global scale, this actually ends up looking like depression, anxiety, extreme fear, anhedonia, which is really just a fancy word for the inability to experience pleasure or even to find pleasure in activities that would normally be pleasurable. That's a really big symptom of depression, actually. The hypervigilance, we really live in this culture that's really focused on hyperproductivity. And when we're sort of stuck in that need to constantly produce, we lose the ability to relax and to just be. And that sets off a whole chain reaction of chemicals in our brain and in our bodies, like cortisol, for example, increased cortisol, which immediately is going to shut down the desire for sex. Sexual desire will immediately shut off if we have high cortisol levels because we can't actually relax, or we're not actually making time for pleasure and valuing pleasure as valuable in and of itself. Goal-oriented, orgasm-focused, fast food sex. that is a symptom of actually being disconnected from this erotic life force. And again, that's really a product of our goal-oriented, hyper-productivity-oriented society, where sex becomes all about reaching this goal of getting to orgasm. This looks like lack of creativity in your life, like feeling stuck, feeling creatively blocked, kind of going along with the crowd because you don't know what else to do next, or because it doesn't feel safe to step outside the box. And on a global scale, this looks like violence, war, and abuse. Yeah, actually it does. When we're that disconnected from this drive towards life, this inherent desire for connection, for intimacy, and for love, which we're calling eros, it actually, the end result of that is that we resort to violence, war, and abuse. So there's really some big implications for being disconnected from this part of ourselves as individuals and collectively as a society. So, whoops, here, let's see. Another way that this might look like in your life is when you end up feeling like roommates with your partner, this person who you chose to be your lover, and like something just sort of changes over time and you just sort of don't feel like it anymore. You're great friends, but the erotic spark is like totally dead. That's also when we've disconnected from Eros. Also like giving in because it feels like too much work to hold your boundaries and say no. That shows up really in all areas of your life. And I don't just mean like saying no sexually or intimately, but where in your life do you have a hard time really speaking up for yourself and why? There's a whole reason why that happens. And I'll talk more about that in depth. I think I get into that on actually tomorrow. We'll talk more about really what generates that challenge in tomorrow's training. Let's see, yeah, not even knowing what your boundaries are. So you just say yes a lot, and then you feel resentful or you feel angry. Feeling lonely even though you're in a relationship. Letting self-doubt, fear, and anxiety eat away at you, and then making all your decisions from that place of doubt, fear, and anxiety. All right, I don't know if you can relate to any of these. I know that I have certainly been in these places from time to time. And that's really a symptom of being disconnected from this deeper part of ourselves, this deeper wisdom of Eros, of creative life force, the desire and the drive towards intimacy, towards connection, and towards love and sex. So I want to talk a little bit about sex and redefining sex and what we actually mean by sex, how I define sex. And how I would like you to start to maybe expanding your own definition of how you come to understand what sex actually is. So the misunderstanding of sex, kind of how I see this, is that really, for the most part, most of the time, when we say that word and we hear that word, mostly what we think of is this thing that's an act done in the bedroom, right? And most of the time we think of it, right, like this, like it's penis and vagina, right? Or something like that, resembling that act. So really the misunderstanding that sex is just this thing that we do in the bedroom, it really limits our understanding and our ability to experience more pleasure and depth when we have this limited definition and idea and concept of what sex is and what it means to, quote, have sex. When we're limited in this way, it really ignores the rest of our life. It completely separates us from how this sexual energy, this primal urge towards Eros and for creativity and for love and connection, it really cuts us off from that, and we start to separate that from the rest of our life. And what actually happens when we do that is the rest of our life kind of goes limp, right? It kind of becomes dull. It kind of becomes unexciting, right? And then sex is just this thing that happens over here in this part of our life. And many times that sex is probably really dull and unexciting also, is my guess, right? So a lot of times as well, there's a habit of really using sex as a way to get power and control, or even a way just to get pleasure. It's used as a way to get something for ourselves, to get connection, to get pleasure, to get emotional intimacy, right? So this idea of using sex as a way to get something from sex is really a misunderstanding, and it's really a way that we limit ourselves. We greatly limit ourselves without even realizing that that's what we're doing. So what do we do instead? And what is a different understanding of sex that's more liberating and more expansive? What I would like you to start thinking about is sex as connection. So sex as connection, because really what we're doing, okay, even in this, right, in the bedroom, penis and vagina sex or penetrative sex, what we're really doing is it's an act of connection, right? At its most basic level, it's an act of connection, an act of union, an act of really the desire to unify, to make the two one. That's sort of actually a different conversation, which I'd love to talk about. Maybe, actually, I don't know if I'll get into that on this training, but anyway. So sex as connection, how you connect first with yourself. Do you avoid feeling your emotions? Do you avoid conflict? Do you think it's bad to feel negative emotions? Do you feel bad when you feel pleasure in your body? How are you actually connecting with yourself on a moment-by-moment basis? Are you shutting down? Are you tense? Are you too open and express and sort of out of control? How do you connect with another person? When you're with another person, are you guarded? Are you like way overly expressive? Or are you just present and deeply connected and just present with yourself? So how are you connecting with another person? Sex defined as how you connect with or engage with life. Do you have a tendency to avoid or to cling? Right? So everybody in some situation or another usually has a tendency to either be more avoidant or more clingy. And that can actually fluctuate from one day to the next, from one relationship to the next, from one situation to the next. So it's really looking at that, how you connect with yourself, with another person, with life. And are you avoiding or are you trying to grab on? Are you trying to keep the good feelings because they feel good? Are you trying to avoid conflict because that's negative and that's bad? Or are you just radically present and just allowing the moment to actually express itself and move through you exactly as it is without trying to change it, without running away or grabbing on? All right, so this idea of redefining sex as connection, as a practice really of conscious connection, I should say. Let's talk about love. So there's also great misunderstandings about love and really what we mean by love. You know, many times love is really, it's more that someone that we need to control or that we need to have power over, and we'll do those things or show up that way in the name of love, right? Like, oh, he gets so jealous when I talk to other guys. That's not love, that's jealousy. But sometimes like we can experience that as love because it makes us feel important or like somebody cares about us, but really that's the need to control. That's not actually love. A lot of times we'll use love, quote unquote love, as a way to not feel pain, to not have to feel emotional pain. We use it as a need to stay safe. We use love again as a way to get our needs met. So again, it's sort of this idea that we're getting something from love, like love gives something to us. It fills a hole within us as if we're not whole already enough within ourselves. We see love show up a lot of times in the guise of martyrdom or self-sacrifice, right? That I'm going to just not have any needs because this other person needs me more and I need to give myself fully to them or fully to my children or fully to my job. So we sacrifice ourselves and we call that love. That's the martyr. Love in the guise of control and insecurity. Love in the guise of the fear of abandonment when we're actually really afraid of being alone or being abandoned. Many times that'll look like staying in a toxic relationship because we don't want to lose the relationship. And again, oftentimes self-sacrificing, really sacrificing what we know is better for ourselves in order to keep that relationship. The thing is, this always and only causes more pain in the long run because we're trying to get something from love. We're trying to use love to avoid our own pain and our own fear. And that actually is not love. That's not really what love is. So what I want to invite you to consider is redefining love as a moment-by-moment practice of staying open. And what do I mean by that? Like a moment by moment practice of staying open. What I mean by that is really the practice of a radical and moment by moment presencing of being connected to your own body and your own sensations, to your own thoughts, your own internal world, your internal experience of what's actually happening inside of you at any given moment. So starting to notice in any situation, where are you closing down right now? Where are you hardening, perhaps, shutting off your heart because you feel vulnerable or angry or like you haven't been validated? Where do you start to harden even in your thoughts? Where are you going into judgment or rigidity in the way that you're thinking about something? So love is ultimately this practice of remaining open and softening what is rigid within your own being on a moment-by-moment basis. All right, so this is ultimately what I'm really talking about here is this practice of creating space within yourself in order to meet and greet everything that's arising in the moment, and especially softening into these places that we've closed off, where we've siphoned ourselves off from this erotic impulse of life, which we do when we feel ashamed or when we're scared, when we don't feel safe or when we don't trust. We're actually, and we tighten, our bodies will tighten, or our thoughts will get rigid. This is how we shut ourselves off from Eros, from this creative force that wants to move through us and express through us as erotic aliveness. Whether or not you're going to have sex with that, with a partner, like, you know, bedroom sex or not, is irrelevant. That love is really this practice of staying present and open within ourselves, moment by moment. And intimacy, let's talk a little bit here about intimacy. This is our last one for today, and then we'll be wrapping up here and I'll open up for questions. So intimacy is also highly misunderstood. And many times we approach intimacy with this idea that we're seeking outside ourselves. We're looking for someone or something outside ourselves to connect with. And the problem with this is that it leads to frustration and disappointment when you start to feel disconnected from this thing that you're trying to connect with outside of yourself, right? Regardless of what that is. That could be a person, that could be a situation, that could be a job, that could be an idea. So it always leads to trying to control another person or a situation. Anytime that we are trying to reach out and connect with this thing outside ourselves while not being really in alignment and intimate internally with ourselves, it leads to trying to control the other person or situation. And many times we end up feeling abandoned, resentful, we might feel ignored, we might feel lonely. And so really at the root of this misunderstanding is really a fundamental feeling, and at the root of kind of these habits of how we try to be intimate, it's really a fundamental feeling of powerlessness. And ultimately a disconnection from our own source of true power. So let's talk about redefining intimacy. And what I'd like you to start to think about is really redefining intimacy as a radical engagement with all of life. Intimacy is an intimacy with all of life. All right, so let me tell you kind of what I mean by this, right? So what I'm talking about here is really first an intimacy with yourself. Through really receiving yourself through radical acceptance of what's occurring on an internal level, moment by moment, like we just talked about, like that practice of love, really being present to what's happening, even if at the moment you just feel nothing or numbness, or there's no sense, there's always some kind of sensation happening, and we don't have time to get into that today, but it is a practice that I teach in this work. So really getting intimate with what's happening in your own internal world. And through an intimacy with the present moment, exactly the way it is, with exactly what's happening now, without trying to change it. So without trying to grab on or keep it the way it is, keeping the good feelings the way they are, and without trying to run away and avoid and get away from the things that are quote unquote negative. So being radically intimate and present with exactly what's happening. So really what I'm talking about with this is really an intimacy with all of life. Really, by being connected to ourselves, radically present, to softening to the places where we're closing down. And ultimately, through this connection to self, we ultimately become much more connected to life itself, because we're no longer shutting down the flow of this creative life force energy called Eros through our own body and through its desire to express in our lives, in whatever beautiful form that takes, when it's not distorted by all these other misunderstandings and by shame and trauma and guilt and fear. When we do this, it leads to feelings of peace, connection, power, and wholeness. And I mean, who doesn't want more of that? Who doesn't want more of that? Peace, connection, love, wholeness. Yes, yummy. And the beautiful thing about this, you guys, is that you are really totally in control of this process. And it's really just a matter of starting to understand how do you reconnect and revive and restore your connection to love, sex, and intimacy, really in the form of Eros, in the form of that erotic life force that wants to move through you uninhibitedly. So we really have a choice. We have a choice to either be victim of our circumstances or the queen of our lives, right? When you're able to really step into your own sovereignty and really make that choice to step into queendom, to becoming the queen of your own life and no longer the victim, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of these misunderstandings that I just defined, like, we're really taking a victim role and we're really putting ourselves in a position of powerlessness and feeling out of control. And it's very confusing. And it also doesn't really lead us to what we really want, right? Which is more love and more connection and more sex too, that sex that feels like love and sex that isn't just sex, right? We'll talk about that on day 4 or 5. But really, here's the outcome. When we do this, when we succeed in restoring our relationship with Eros, we become more sovereign, free, and fulfilled in our lives and in our relationships. And as a result, we experience more connection and love. Like, even when we're in the midst of these negative emotions, like even when there's anger or deep grief, it is still possible actually to feel deeply connected and deeply in love with life, with the moment, with the person in front of you. So there's really this depth that starts to come online and really this access to greater beauty that we have when we make this choice to become more sovereign and to really start to cultivate this new understanding about intimacy and sex and love. So you have a choice to access your own power and create happiness, or to continue in the cycle of sabotaging yourself through victimhood and staying unconscious, really, ultimately. It's really a matter of sort of making the choice to not want to take responsibility to become more conscious, because it's work, y'all. I'm not going to lie. You know, it takes work and an extreme dedication to becoming accountable really to who we want to be, but also accountable really to the truth, really the truth of what is. And, you know, what I've shared with you here today is this, you know, sort of redefining sex, love, and intimacy, which is realigning you with really what's actually true. All right. A lot of the other stuff, the other beliefs that we have around sex and intimacy and love are really, they're false. They're misguided. They only lead to more pain and to more suffering. So I'm going to share with you a first step of really how to start to explore this for yourself. This is your takeaway for today. And I will be giving you a little PDF handout of this portion here. It's a journal prompt that I'm going to give you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to do some journaling, do a little bit of writing today. And I really want you to start to identify in your life. I'm going to give you the questions here. I'll read them for you. You can write them down, but again, I'll have a PDF of this for you after the live stream. Where do you limit your own enjoyment and pleasure? Where and how are you doing this? So here are some things to think about as you're journaling. Where do you deny yourself pleasure for the sake of pleasure? So for example, do you hold back from buying something because it's not practical? Do you put off spending money on experiences because they seem frivolous? I've got a great story about this too. I'll share with you in a minute before we finish. Do you hold limiting beliefs like, I have to be productive or else I feel like a failure, or only hard work is worthwhile and leisure is a waste of time? And what are your feelings about masturbation and self-pleasure? Where did those beliefs and feelings come from? How do you relate to your own body sexually? Is it kind of embarrassing? Do you feel bad? Do you feel like it's too much work? How do you feel about that? What's your relationship with your emotions? Do you avoid allowing yourself to feel bad feelings and only focus on the good feelings? And why? And how might that actually be limiting you? So I'm going to share with you a real brief story here about why I'm giving this to you as a really a first place to start, because this is something that literally like you can use every single day, like even while you're at the grocery store. Actually, I used to call this grocery store yoga. It was the term that I gave for this practice, but I'll share a little personal story. So about a year ago, I was out shopping, exactly about a year ago, actually, and I was in the Steve Madden store. It's a shoe store. And there was this gorgeous pair of super tall, thigh-high, 4-inch heel black hooker boots that I absolutely freaking adored. And at the moment, like in my head, this is what ran through my head. I was like, well, like I'm a single mom. Like I can't walk around wearing these hooker boots. And I'm a therapist. Like I can't exactly wear these things to the office. Like these aren't really going to be practical. And you know, even if I did wear them and wore them out, like I'm going to look like a hoe. Like people are going to think I'm like a total slut. So I successfully talked myself out of buying these boots, right? So this is a classic example of, you know, this social shame that we carry. Even me, like I'm a sex therapist, right? Like I talk about sex all day long and I've done a lot of work, and even me, like I'm having this conversation with myself, right? That's literally what I was telling myself. And, you know, fast forward to like a couple months ago, so about a year later, that cold front that came through Austin a couple months ago, and I, you know, got online, and I'm like, I need a pair of boots, like I'm out of winter, you know, my winter boots are all worn out, I need a new pair. Well, up pop these gorgeous thigh-high hooker boots on, you know, the Steve Madden website, and here I am again, like, oh my God, I love those boots, but like, they're just not practical, and like, should I really spend money on something that's not practical, and I'm like, never mind, I'm gonna look like a hoe, and then I stopped myself. I had this realization of like, oh my God, like that is the cultural programming where I'm limiting myself, where I'm shutting this impulse, this initial impulse, like, oh, I love these boots. These are hot. They're sexy. Like, wow, they're going to make me feel like $1 million. It'd be fun. And I shut it down inside of me, you know, through this conversation and through this, the imprints of sexual shame that all of us carry with us that are so pervasive that a lot of times we don't even notice that we're carrying them. So yes, I bought the fucking boots. And yes, I wore them. And yes, I felt freaking awesome. So it was a very empowering moment for me to say yes to that. But it took a minute, right? It took a minute for me to really notice what was actually going on and how I was actually limiting myself for my own pleasure. So I want you to start to do this for yourself. This is your task for today and for this week and in an ongoing basis. Just look and see, where do you limit yourself from your own pleasure and in what ways? It's very subtle. You can even do this at the grocery store or while you're out and about. Like, do you order the cheapest thing on the menu because you don't want to spend the money on it or it feels frivolous? Or do you not buy certain things at the grocery store for the same reason? Because you got to spend all the money on the kids. So you don't want to like buy yourself, you know, that really delicious, yummy chocolate cake because it would add calories, or because you have to buy this other stuff for the family. Like, where are you limiting yourself? So that's your challenge for today. Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast series and sharing it with your community. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.